You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
The Magnificat. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor upon his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm, and has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones, and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon here on the Father's Quilt. Every Tuesday and Friday afternoon from 1 o'clock to 1:30, we share scripture and, we get together and pray together and learn more about our Holy Family. And of course, this month, the most beautiful month, is the month of May, and I devote it to our Blessed Mother. And next month I'm going to devote it to Saint Joseph. Yeah, I love Saint Joseph. So we'll get into that after. But anyways, I thought today we would talk about, why is devotion to our Blessed Mother so important? Sometimes this question may seem difficult to answer, but it really is quite simple because God willed it. That's why. We may ask why God would want us to have a relationship with his mother. Wouldn't it distract us from him? And doesn't it seem kind of quite contradictory? Well, not necessarily. And our own experience attests to it. Let's take for an example a young man who meets his girlfriend's parents. Okay, have you been there and done that? Boy, I could give you some really great story about that. When my parents met my husband, during the 70s, when his hair was past shoulder length and with a long mustache, and he was going to be a teacher, and boy, did they freak out when they saw him. Anyways, so let's pretend, for example, a young man who meets his girlfriend's parents, and as he gets to know them, he realizes they're a good family. He enjoys being with them, and he also starts loving them in a way. Does that mean that by growing in love for them, he will love his girlfriend less? Not necessarily. We could even say that the opposite is possible. His love for his girlfriend's family can help him get to know and love his girlfriend even more. And something similar happens in our relationship with the Virgin Mary. She's not there to distract us from God, but actually she's there to lead us to him. Mary's role in God's plan, we could say, God wanted us to have a relationship with the Virgin Mary. Well, the Bible gives us the answer. In the Gospel of John, we find Jesus' last words. they hold a special importance because, as we know, no one would waste their last breath by saying something superfluous, you know, superfluous. I can't even say the word, but anyways, you know, something that's trivial. They carry a special meaning and they're powerful, and Jesus knows he doesn't have much time left, but struggles to say them anyway. And among these words we hear Jesus speak directly to his mother, "Woman, behold your son," and to the beloved disciple, "Behold your mother," in John chapter 19. So what does that mean? Mary, many may think that when Jesus calls his mother woman, he's disrespecting her or belittling her. But would Jesus really take the time to do that to his mother as he's dying on the cross? Probably not. A deeper look allows us to see that the title woman carries a deeper, much deeper meaning in the Gospel of John. Jesus calls his mother woman because he's calling her like the first woman in the book of Genesis, Eve. John does something similar throughout his gospel. He begins his gospel with the same words as the book of Genesis, "in the beginning," to highlight that while Genesis tells the story of creation, his gospel tells the story of the new creation brought about Christ. And in this new creation, Jesus is the new Adam, right? And Mary is the new Eve. And you can look that up in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Mary is the woman whose seed, Jesus, would crush the serpent's head. And that is in Genesis 3, verses 14 and 15. So by calling her woman, Jesus is calling Mary the new woman, the spiritual mother of all who are born into the new creation brought about by Christ. And she becomes the mother of every beloved disciple, of every person who follows Jesus. God has given us a great gift as his own mother, as our companion. But why would God do that? Why would we need Mary? What would we even need Mary for? Well, this has to do with the way God has chosen to act in history. In his plan of redemption, God chose to act through middlemen or mediations. If he so wished, he wouldn't need us to cooperate with him in his plan. He could have appeared to the whole world and convinced everyone. Yet, he told his disciples, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." And that means that God chose to reach people's hearts and lives through other people, through mediations. This proves that even in our own lives, how many of us have embraced our Catholic faith because of what our parents or someone important in our life taught us, or because of someone's example or someone invited us to Mass. How many times has God talked to you and I through others? Every time we use the word "through," we're talking about a mediation, someone in the middle, though whom God speaks to. God acts through others. He uses mediations. Another example of mediation is praying for one another. The letter of St. James clearly calls us to do that. In James chapter 5, when we pray for a brother or a sister in Christ, we become the middleman. Like Moses, who begs God for someone else, there's nothing wrong with being mediators in this way. But in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, it clearly says that Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. And as we have seen, God does act through mediations, but only Jesus is mediator with a capital M. We could say that is only he was capable of uniting man to God. Only he could become the bridge that overcame sin and brought us to new life. No one else is mediator in the way Jesus is. We have the mediator, who is Jesus, and mediators. That's us Christians. Jesus wanted us to participate in his mediation. but that doesn't mean we replace him or compete with him. This mediation is what allows us to invite people to know him. He willed his plan of salvation to be carried out in this way. So when we say we or Mary are mediators, we're obviously not saying that we're mediators like Christ. We're simply saying that he chose to let us partake in his mission by reaching others through us. And so when Catholics pray to Mary, we're not praying in the same way as we pray to God. We're asking for her intercession, the way we ask our brothers and sisters for prayers. And that is exactly what we ask of her in the Hail Mary. So here is where Virgin Mary comes in. She takes a very special place among us who participate in Jesus' mediation, because God chose to come to us through her and gave her to us as mother. Her mission consists in always leading us to him. What does she say? Do whatever he tells you. She, like us, mediates under Christ's mediation. When we say she intercedes for us, we are not saying we forgot or forget about God. It simply means we turn to her for prayers, something we all Catholics do when we ask for prayers from their brothers and sisters. So when we Catholics pray to Mary, we're not praying, as I said, in the same way as we pray to God. We're asking for her intercession, the way we ask our brothers and sisters for prayers. And that, my brothers and sisters, is what we ask from her in the Hail Mary, right? First, we salute her with the biblical words spoken to her by the angel and Elizabeth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. And we end by asking for her prayers. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. What a beautiful prayer. God has given us the beautiful gift of a spiritual mother to help us become one with him. Wouldn't we honor him, brothers and sisters, by accepting her, right? And so then we come to this part about invoking her name. While it's true that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that's in Philippians 2, God also endowed upon the name of Mary a very deep and spiritual power. Being the Queen Mother, Mary has a special role in salvation history and continues to come to the aid of all of us, of all of God's people when they call upon her. It's a great mystery. But countless saints have reinforced over the centuries that the closer one gets to Mary, the closer one is brought to her son. God bless his soul, but the late Pope Benedict XVI, similarly, he promoted this reality, and he pointed to a quote from St. Bernard of Clairvaux, right? And the quote is a summary of Catholic belief when it comes to Marian intercession. And it reassures us that whenever we invoke the name of Mary, we will be brought closer to Jesus. And here it is here. In the words of St. Bernard, the late Pope Benedict XVI's words. So I'm quoting now. I invite everyone to become a trusting child before Mary, even as the Son of God did. Saint Bernard says, and we say with him, look to the star of the sea, call upon Mary, in danger, in distress, in doubt, think of Mary, call upon Mary. May her name never be far from your lips or far from your heart. If you follow her, you will not stray. If you pray to her, you will not despair. If you turn your thoughts to her, you will not err. If she holds you, you will not fall. If she protects you, you need not fear. If she is your guide, you will not tire. If she is gracious to you, you will surely reach your destination. End of quote. How beautiful is that, my brothers and sisters? Absolutely beautiful, right? Yeah. So here are, I'm going to share with you about five very simple ways to invoke Mary into your heart, into your home, and into your family. One of the last things Jesus did before he died was give us his mother Mary to be our mother. From the Gospel of John, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. Jesus' final words not only pertained to Mary and John, they also included me and you and all of humanity. Jesus Christ, after having given us all he could give, that is to say, the merit of his toils, his sufferings, and bitter death, after having given us his adorable body and blood to be food for our souls, willed also to give us the most precious thing he had left, which was his Holy Mother. St. John Marie Vianney says, "Yes, Jesus gave us Mary to be our mother. But how do we cultivate a relationship with our mother Mary? What can we do to take her into our homes like St. John did?" Well, what do you think the first one would be? Oh, I hurry at you. You're right. Pray. If praying an entire rosary seems overwhelming to you, start small. Consider praying just one decade of the rosary each day for 5 days, and reflect upon one mystery each day as well. And by the end of the week, you will have prayed an entire rosary. And you can break it down even more simply by praying one Hail Mary at the beginning of each day, asking Mary to pray for you and your special intentions. And this can be especially effective when you're including other members of the family. Every morning on the way to school, my children and I would say our prayers, offering our day to the Lord. We would include one Hail Mary and one Memore, asking the Blessed Mother to be with us and to pray for us. And so this is a very doable way for you too, brothers and sisters, to invite Mary into your day. And there's many beautiful Marian prayers you can incorporate into your personal family prayer times, right? So there's a wonderful book called The Rosary, Keeping Company with Jesus and Mary, right? So the book is called The Rosary, Keeping Company with Jesus and Mary, by Karen Edmiston. I'll spell you her last name. E-D like David, M-I-S-T-E-N. So it's called again, The Rosary, Keeping Company with Jesus and Mary, by Karen Edmiston. All right. And of course, there's many good books about the Blessed Mother. Some are tried and true, like True Devotion to Mary by St. Louis de Montfort, right? And there's others that are contemporary, but they're just as reverent, like 33 Days to Morning Glory by Father Michael Gately, or Under the Mantle by Father Donald Calloway, or Walking with Mary, A Biblical Journey from Nazareth to the Cross by Dr. Edward Serree. So, and of course, there's Bible studies. There's also one through, I'm going to plug Ascension Press, free for them, but Ascension Press is a beautiful Bible study you might consider in your own parish. And it's actually called Walking with Mary, A Biblical Journey from Nazareth to the Cross. And it's through Ascension Press, a wonderful Bible study. You know, you would absolutely love it. just beautiful. And, you know, it's so helpful to read what the Catholic Church teaches about the Blessed Mother. Often Mary is like this mysterious part of our faith. And so not only will reading about the Blessed Mother will help you get to know her better, but through reading, you'll also be able to share the truth about Mary with others. You know, many saints had incredible devotion to our Blessed Mother, including Saint Maximilian Kolbe, Saint Paul, John Paul II, Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta, and more. And so it's beneficial to read personal accounts of our Blessed Mother's influence in the lives of the saints and other faithful Catholics as an inspiration for our own relationship with her. And if we want our children or our grandchildren to know Mary from an early age, it's good to find some children's books about her to read as a family. And there are families that have read books like Take It to the Queen, A Tale of Hope. So it's called Take It to the Queen, A Tale of Hope by Josephine Nobisso. Nobisso, N-O-B-I-S-S-O. Okay, so if you don't have one already, find a beautiful statue or a picture of the Blessed Mother to display in your home. And, you know, maybe I didn't have this benefit. I came from an Orthodox family and they may as well have been atheists because I didn't hear prayer. I didn't see what prayer looked like till it was my grandmother, God bless her soul. Growing up, you might have kept a statue of Mary. Maybe you had one given to you and you kept it in your bedroom, right? But, or it could be sitting in your special place in home. But I know myself, I also have our Blessed Mother and I have Our Lady of the Cape and Saint Charbel. And of course, Saint Joseph here with me as I'm broadcasting for you today. They're all, I have angels with me. I have Saint Teresa of Lisieux and I have Saint Maria Faustina here right in front of me. And of course, Saint Brother Andre Bessette as well. And many prayer cards that surround me, including our perpetual hope of prayer for our Blessed Mother as well. So there's wonderful, wonderful pictures and icons and statues to inspire you, brothers and sisters, and bring to your grandchildren. And make sure before you bring anything like that into their home or share it with the children, have it blessed by your parish priest. It's not for you to take the blessed water, holy water, and then sprinkle it and say a prayer. No, it has to be done by a parish priest. It doesn't have to be your own, but it has to be done by a priest. So during the month of May, we celebrate Mother Mary, and that would be a good thing for children to realize. The month of May brings our devotion and our prayers to Mother Mary. And of course, in October, it's the month of the Rosary. So you might consider maybe set up a special space in your home to honor Our Lady and maybe even for Mother Mary, you know, an altar. It doesn't have to be fancy. It can be simple. And you know what is so beautiful, brothers and sisters, is getting if your children can draw and color and bring out the pencil crayons or crayons and let them in their own precious way, in their own innocent way, draw a picture of Mother Mary. Hang it up. Put it in a frame. Hang it up. There is nothing more loving, more true from the heart than it is from a child and hanging it up. You know, in church we had, and I'm sure you did too, the Divine Mercy Sunday. We had a special presentation and beautiful prayers. And of course, we had several people singing. And of those people, they were children. And it was mostly the children that were singing. And just to hear their sweet voices carrying through the church, it was the most inspirational time I can recall. I mean, I love our choir and I love our cantor, you know, she's wonderful, you know, beautiful, beautiful voice. But hearing children, brothers and sisters, in their sweet voices being so devoted to our Blessed Mother, and to Divine Mercy Sunday. It was the most memorable Mass I had, and I wish I could have relived it over and over again, but it was so beautiful. It just calms your soul. So if you don't have a statue of Mary, a framed holy card, or even a rosary can, adorn your altar. So get your kids involved, right? May have them even make a little bouquet of flowers. It can be even out of construction paper. Or maybe go to the dollar store and get some, let the children pick the flowers and put them in a little vase. Or you can create everything. We used to take the old soup can, right? Maybe put wallpaper around it, or MacTac, or construction paper. And MacTac is that wallpaper, that paper that you used to, well, people have put in there, that'll date me, but you put it in your cupboard shelf and to protect the wood. So maybe you still did it. It was called MacTac, and you'll find it in the dollar store for sure. But, getting your family involved is the most wonderful way of bringing honor and this month, and having this opportunity to bring the children closer to our Blessed Mother. And then, of course, light a candle and take the time to pray, either alone and even with your family, in front of your altar throughout these, especially during these special months. So the Catholic Church, well, it's really good about teaching us about the importance of fasting and feasting. We have so many days of celebration in the church. So find yourself a few favorites, including some Marian feast days, and celebrate. Again, remember, brothers and sisters, it doesn't have to be fancy. It's amazing how wonderful and fun white chocolate on the Feast of Immaculate Conception or Mexican food on the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe can be. And don't forget cupcakes with blue frosting for our Blessed Mother's birthday. So, there's a book I want to suggest to you if you have grandchildren or for your own children. They're Marian Feast Day Ideas, and it's called Mondays with Mary. Isn't that gorgeous? Mondays with Mary. And it's by Meredith Henning, H-E-N-N-I-N-G. So the book is called Mondays with Mary by Meredith Meredith, Meredith, and Henning, Henning. And of course, there's also a blog called Catholic Cuisine. How cool is that? So brothers and sisters, this is a perfect month to get your family involved and enjoy this time and offering up to Mary our hearts and our love for her through prayer and veneration. So listen, in this month, the benefits of God's mercy comes down to us from her throne in greater abundance. St. Teresa of Avila said, the devotions we practice in honor of the glorious Virgin Mary, however trifling they may be, are very pleasing to her divine Son. And he rewards them. He rewards them with eternal glory. So can you picture his smile? Yeah, absolutely. Brothers and sisters, have a wonderful, blessed month of Mary and enjoy the ideas that I've given you. I hope they help. God bless you. And thanks again for joining me today. Bye for now.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a if I had